Are you ready for the word this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. We open our hearts to you and thank you for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit through our simple belief. I pray that as we enter 2018, belief, faith, Lord, would be found and named among us in great measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's hold them up. Say this like we believe it. In this house, we elevate God's word. What he says is greater than what we think or feel. God's word says we are righteous, we are holy, we are forgiven, we are free, we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to conclude our series this morning on the living word. We pray it's been a great blessing to you. There's all kinds of reasons that we need to honor and reverence and respect God's word. And here's a few of them. Why do we honor his word? Because God's word is life to our minds and health to our bodies. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. God's word heals and delivers us, Psalm 107:20. God's word has creative power, Genesis 1:3. God's word cannot fail, Isaiah 55:11. God's word stands forever, Isaiah 40, verse 8. So if God says you're somebody, if he says you're something, righteous, holy, how long does that stand? Forever. And God's word corrects us, 2 Timothy 3:16. Aren't you glad that God doesn't correct us with sickness and disease? God doesn't correct you with calamity and disaster. So you need to rebuke the devil when he tells you, well, this bad thing is happening to you because you did this and this. You were bad, and so now God's doing this to you. No, he's not. God will correct you by his word. God will correct you, course correct you, by his word, not by sickness or disease or any such thing. All right, we have broken down or expanded on a few of these reasons. Number one that we looked at, the foundation of our faith. Why do we honor God's word? Because it's the foundation of our faith. Why else? It grounds us in truth. It sets us free. And then 2 weeks ago, is living, active, and available in the present tense. John chapter 1, verse 1, NIV. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Can I get a witness that this is not talking about the Bible? In the beginning was the Word, and he goes on to use the pronouns he and him. He was in the beginning with God. So the Word didn't begin when the Bible was written. The Word began with Jesus Christ. The Word was, the Word is, and ever shall be. So because the Word has always been, it's been since the beginning, his Word is available to us at all times. So you have to let the person and Spirit of Christ take you to the Scriptures. Let the living Word, your personal relationship with him, take you to the written Word. And then in the written Word, it should take you to him. It should never take you to bondage. It should take you to freedom. Loving instruction. Even if God rebukes you or corrects you through his Word, you should feel loved in that. Amen. I've never felt so loved as when he's spoken some very challenging things to me about certain behaviors or attitudes. Yeah. God's word is available to us. It's ongoing. So we're going to listen and keep on listening. We are not restricted by whether we have a Bible in our lap. You can hear God at all times. Do you realize if you're shipwrecked on an island and you don't have a Bible, you can hear the word of God. Amen. He can talk to you, spirit to spirit. Did God tell Abraham to offer Isaac? Yes, he did. Did God tell Abraham later not to? So God's word is progressive. It's ongoing. You need to keep listening. We can't say, well, God, you told me to do this, so by God, I'm going to do it. Keep listening, because he may say, don't lay your hand upon the child. So his word is alive, it's ongoing, it's ever available to us in the present tense. Let's go to the fourth one, Another reason we honor God's word is it sanctifies us. God's word sanctifies us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is God's will, your sanctification. Well, that's pretty easy theology there. What's God's will for my life? Well, how about your sanctification? I'll define it for you here in just a second. John 17:17, Jesus said to the Father, he's praying here, he said, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God sanctifies us as believers. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:13, I love this one. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you. Everybody say, I'm chosen. All right, God chose you as first fruits to be saved, look at this, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth. How do we get sanctified? The work of the Spirit and then belief in the truth. We don't have behavior issues in the church, we have belief issues. Everybody wants to deal with outward behavior, deal with inner belief. That's where we need to start. And we'll talk more about that later because the Lord has asked me to talk to you this morning about the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification is one of the most controversial and disruptive, misunderstood doctrines in all of Western Christianity. To sanctify means to make holy or sacred. Okay? To sanctify means to make holy or sacred. It means to set apart for God, His purpose, His will, His use. God, when He sanctifies us, listen to this, He sets you apart. Literally, others you. You're not like everybody else, He others you. So He sets you apart for His use, and sanctification refers both to an action or a process, but also a condition or a state of being. Now, this is why it becomes argumentative, because a lot of denominations and churches try to make it one or the other. I'm here to tell you there's actually three parts to sanctification. We'll look at that. But it's not just one. It's not a fixed condition, and it's not just a process or action. It's both. And we'll look at that. My inside is sanctified. That is my position in Christ. My spirit is clean. Can I get a witness? My spirit is never sinned because it's in union with Jesus Christ's spirit. Whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. So I've been made new. I'm a new creation. Where? In my spirit man. But the rest of me is in... You don't have to laugh. No, it's fine. You can laugh. The rest of me and the rest of all of us is in process of becoming like what's inside. I'm already fixed inside, but the rest of me is growing to be like it. And thank God we understand this process here in this church. Can I get a witness? So we are sanctified in Christ, but we're also being sanctified, and we understand that. In the Old Testament, Israel was sanctified, which meant they were holy and what? Set apart. They were different from any other people. They were holy. They were set apart by God as belonging to Him, His possession. Interesting. They were separate. They were different from the rest of the world. And then notice the idea that God has a distinctive, holy, set-apart people has been carried over to the New Testament. Israel became a picture in the natural that God would set apart a spiritual people in the new. And I can show it to you. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, NIV. But you, talking about born again children of God... How many times did Paul write in the New Testament to the saints at, or even Peter, to the saints at? Saints is where we took that word from, sanctified. To all the people that God has set apart as His own, who are different than the world. He says, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, look at this, a holy nation. Not a physical location, or yeah, land location, but a spiritual people. You're God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. We really missed that revelation. Once you were not a people, you're nobody, but now you are the people of God. You once had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. So you are holy and set apart as belonging to God himself. And I think, like I said, we've missed the absolute magnitude and reality of what it is to be a sanctified people. We're a holy people. We're different. We've been chosen by God. Of course, he wants everybody to come to know him, but we have received the gift. We've began a relationship with God, and we are now holy and set apart, and we are different. We've been separated by God himself as belonging to him for his purpose. And this is largely missed in Western Christianity, and here's why. Because most Christians in the West still believe their life is their own. And they don't think it's anything weird to look just like the world. There is an issue in the body of Christ that we look way too much, we act way too much, we do business way too much, we talk way too much like the world. And yet, the definition of sanctification and holy is God moved you out as separate. Doesn't mean we turn our nose down at people. It just means we act different. We talk different. We raise our kids different. We do business different than the world does. Because we're sanctified people belonging to God himself. Most in the West, God works for them. They'll use scripture or their behavior or their measure of holiness and what they determine to be holy to make God do stuff for them. They love their own life. They love their own possessions. They live like the world. They talk like the world. They don't think anything of it. And yet, I think we've missed the magnitude of 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Hey, you're separated out. You're my chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You once were not a people. You're now my people. You're my possession. You're different. You're sanctified. Set apart and holy. How many of you in your heart of hearts know we should be different than the world? We know this. We know this. And as we'll see in a little bit, believing that we really are set apart, we really are holy people, is such a huge revelation for us to get. Because I don't think we manifest holiness because we really don't believe we are holy and set apart. And therefore we make excuses for why we live and act and talk and do business just like the world does. Is it true that we are holy and set apart? It is true. We may as well agree with it. See, the condition of our heart is not missing. Belief is missing. So then we'll notice a shift from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, sanctification and holiness moves from ritual, right, and performance outward to an inward holiness, an inward sanctification. Jesus spoke against those who cleaned the outside of the cup. He rebuked them and said that the outside of a man is what should be clean in order to have a relationship with God. And then he added in Matthew 5:7, are you ready? Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Not in ceremony, not in ritual, not in church attendance, not in outward manifestation, but what's your motive? What's your measure of purity on the inside, not the outside? Amen, somebody. So to rightly divide sanctification. Well, let me say this. When we're talking about outward performance versus blessed are the pure in heart. See, we have people in this country, even politicians, who are trying to do good. But their motive is horrible. Their motive for doing, quote, nice things for people is power and money. It's selfish. And you can tell me you're good and pursuing morality for America all you want. But if your heart is not right, you're far from him. Blessed are the pure in heart in the new covenant. The purity and the set apartness is inside. So if we're going to rightly divide sanctification, we have to see it on three levels. We're going to see it on three levels. Here you go. Completed, continuing, and conforming. Completed, continuing, and conforming. And it affects us in all three facets of time. It affects our identity in all three facets of time. Guess what we have here? We have past, number one, present, number two, future, number three. Sounds like a plan of God. He's going to cover all bases, past, present, and future. It's completed, it's continuing, and it's conforming. So let's look at number one. It's completed or it's finished. So as a born-again child of God, you're sanctified and holy where? In your spirit man. So you're sanctified and holy inside. That's the finished work of Christ on the inside. That's the completed part. Let me show you this passage. Hebrews 10:10. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's completed and finished. Congratulations. That is an accomplished reality because you received what Christ has done for you and in you. You are sanctified. Congratulations. That's your past. We just got to get it to be our present reality in our thinking. So I like that term. It's an accomplished reality that we are sanctified. So since we are sanctified, who votes we live like it? Sounds like a good idea to me. We read it in 1 Peter 2 where Peter says, you are a chosen race. You are holy and set apart. You are that already. And then look at this, Colossians 3:12. As the elect of God. Everybody say it with me. As the elect of God. One more time. As the elect of God. He does not say, so you will be the elect of God. No, he says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That is your present condition. Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, and patience. Nowhere does he say, so God will say that you're holy and beloved and he'll really like you, do these things. No, he said, as these things, this is who you are. Because you have been sanctified. You have been set apart. Praise God. Isn't that exciting? I'd much rather have that than, hey, in order to become holy, make sure you put on mercy and kindness and good luck with that. All believers, whatever their present situation, have been sanctified in Christ and they are saints of God. Did you hear me say that? All believers, whatever their current situation. See, a saint is therefore anyone and everyone who's received Jesus Christ into their heart. It's not some higher form of holiness. If you're born again, you're a saint. Well, I don't always live like a saint because you don't believe it. Belief is empowering. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I thank God for Saint Robert? And then Donna comes alongside when Robert does a big piece of stupid and Donna says, remember, you are Saint Robert. I don't recognize that person, but I know you are Saint Robert. Amen. Because we don't believe it. A saint is not somebody who's outwardly trying hard to be holy. A saint is somebody who's sanctified on the inside. And Hebrews 10:10 says, in Christ we are that. So even though we're sanctified on the inside, one third of the work is done. The rest of you is still under construction by way of the Holy Spirit, who is sanctifying the rest of you. And how many of you know that's a challenge? Amen. All the wives and husbands and children. are agreeing with that. Let's go to number two. It segues to continuing. Excuse me. So sanctification is not only completed, but it relates to the continuing work of Christ's Spirit in us every day. Everybody say every day. Christ is at work in you every day. Well, I don't always feel it. Well, he is. I don't always sense him. Well, he is. Did you know you can trust him and trust the process? You really can. You're not going to be his first failure. All he needs is for you to believe what he says about you. That's all he's asking you to do is believe. I want you to write this down. This is a huge statement. When we talk about continuing in sanctification, this is not a movement towards being sanctified. Okay, we are sanctified. It's growing in our sanctified status. Okay, I'm not trying to become it, but I'm growing in my sanctified identity and condition. We're already set apart as God's special people. I showed you that. We're set apart in this world as God's special people. I pray we get a hold of that. Set apart in this world as God's people. We think different. We act different. We talk different. We're sanctified people. But even though we are that, we need to grow in our understanding of it. We need to grow in what it means and what it looks like to be God's own special people. It's a gradual process of transformation that God wills and desires for everybody in this room to live out. He gave it to you. He wants you to believe it and live it out. Now, God's written word, living word, and ongoing word, all three are going to charge you to live out the accomplished reality of your holiness in Christ. The living word is going to instruct you towards holiness. The written word, Jesus Christ, and his ongoing word in your spirit, he's going to instruct you towards holiness. You're not going to get away with living like the world. If you're born again, he's in there. And he's going to say, hey, don't talk to your kids like that. That's proof he's in you. Come on, amen. I have to tell people all the time, I feel horrible. I'm so glad you feel horrible. Stop beating yourself up. It's proof he's working in you. I'd be concerned if you came to me and you didn't care what you said to your kids. What good is wallowing in self-pity going to do? What good is beating yourself up all day long? Get up and agree with who God says you are. And if you need to apologize, go apologize. Amen. Look at this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that's to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children. Why? Because that's who we are. Not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. This is a New Testament passage. This is not law. This is not God putting something on you. He's telling you who you are. He's saying, hey, your dad is holy. I begot you. Be holy like me. This is who you are. You are holy. Live like it. Amen, somebody. But even in charging us to live holy, he says, do it as obedient children, not so you'll be one. All right. And then number three, it's conforming. Romans 8, 29, for those whom he foreknew, God has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. There you go. That's where you're headed. It's where we're all headed. This has always been God's end goal, that every human being would be conformed to the image of his son. And isn't it exciting that even in lost people, when they take up hatred, evil, ill will, grudges, it doesn't sit well with them. Their body longs to be conformed to the image of God's son. The human body and mind is healthier in forgiveness and love and peace and joy than it is in grudges and evil and hatred. Amen. Thank God for that. So God gave you free will, but he did stack the deck in his favor. He made you, so his fingerprints are all over you. Whose image are you made in? Amen. Jesus said, whose image is on this coin? Caesar's. Well, then, whatever has Caesar's image on it, you give back to Caesar. But whatever has God's image on it, has to be given back to God. You'll never find the peace you're looking for living contrary to the nature of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only image any human being has been created to bear. Somebody ought to give God praise for that. Amen. All right, so what's the difference? We're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. So sanctification is a conforming work. If you look at our Heavenly Father and you look at Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, they're both without evil in their nature. Amen? But listen, they're also without evil. They're perfect in all their ways, their actions, their attitudes, and their motives. We are perfect in our new nature. We have a new heart. That's why we can't get away with stuff. I was trying to make it easy. So we're perfect in our spirit, man, our nature, thanks to Jesus Christ's spirit. But God's goal is that we grow and mature in all our ways, actions, attitudes, and motives. He and Christ are already there. You and I, we're in process. But we have the nature. We have the new identity. We have His spirit. We have grace that empowers us towards this journey where now all of our actions, attitudes, and motives are perfect. Amen. Man, don't let the devil tell you, you'll never get there. You may as well just relegate yourself to being born again and living like the world. Don't believe that. God's desire is total sanctification of the human being. Right here, this is your destiny, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He'll always have us moving towards the goal of complete holiness in our spirit, soul, and body. Let me show you this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 NIV. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you completely. Who's at work in you? God is. God is. He doesn't need your self-effort. He needs your willingness. Are you willing to yield your heart, yield your body, yield your mouth to Him? God Himself, let Him sanctify you how much? Completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. God's goal is complete and total sanctification. It is complete in your spirit, man. It is continuing, but it's also going to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, and where we struggle is, we got to believe the Word. The Word works sanctification in you. John 6:29, this is the work of God, Jesus said, that you believe on me. They said, remember this, Ron? Ron and I met at IHOP on Friday by either divine appointment or accident. But nonetheless, John says, we're talking about some of this, and Ron said to me, John 6:29, what's the work that God requires of us? Believe me. That's the work, believe me. How about this? John 16:8-9. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin because they don't believe in me. They don't believe what I say. So what's the sin of the New Testament? Unbelief. What's our struggle as Christians? Unbelief. Man, and the church has made gazillions of dollars off of behavior modification. Always preaching, it's our behavior, it's our behavior. Your behavior is unholy. No, hey, you need to believe righteously. Believe towards holiness. Agree with God's word about who He says you are. That'll affect your behavior. Amen. And here's where our relationship to the living word, the written word, and God's ongoing word come in. The truth of God sanctifies us by us believing it. I'm going to say it again. The truth of God's word sanctifies us by us believing it. Our behavior gets a whole lot more holy when we start believing we actually are holy. Why more churches don't teach that, I have no idea. Because any church worth its salt wants holiness and righteousness for the people. Right? A nation given to righteousness, the people sing. Something else They lament. They mourn. So we're made for righteousness. Any church worth its salt, any leadership worth its salt, wants holiness and righteousness in the people's lives. And I'm telling you, the more you believe how sanctified and set apart as God's own possession, the more you believe that, the more you'll live holy. And it won't be a burden on you like, oh my gosh, I better do this or God will crush me like a bug. It's going to be, God has made me holy, Ron. He has set me apart. I will not touch what is unclean. I won't touch it. I won't even entertain the idea of uncleanliness because God has made me a holy, righteous person. I'm a saint of God. I am separate. I'm a called out one. I'm an other. Somebody give God praise. That's who we are. We got to believe it. Believe it. That's the work of God. The truth is the truth, whether we believe it or not. So why not believe it? And why do we think so often we're not a saint? Why do we think we're not sanctified? Well, we look to the natural to determine whether we think we are or not. We look to our five senses. We look to how we feel, which means we're not yet walking as often as we ought in spirit and in truth. How many of you believe that we're designed to walk by the Spirit? If you've been born again by the Spirit, Galatians says, walk by the Spirit. If you are made new and alive by the Spirit, walk by it. Amen. This is how we can be different from the world because they're all trained by their senses. They live by what they see. We live by Spirit and we live by truth. That's why we can love people who don't give us love to love them with. The world can't do it. Why do you get mad at them? They're not even capable of loving you. Amen. God gives you the love to love people with. Love lives in you. Amen. I call it sanctification by identification. It's in the True You book. If a lot of this trips your trigger today, grab a True You book on the bookshelf. They're free. And read about who God says you are. The Holy Spirit's going to do His work, right, Kyle? He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you truth. Will you do your part? Well, what is it? Believe it. Amen. The things He shows you, believe it. No matter how good it is, right, Michelle? No matter how righteous He says you are, no matter how holy He says you are, sanctified and set apart, believe it. He'll do His part. He's going to show you the truth. How many of you, can I get a witness that the shortfall is not on His end? If we're not manifesting set apartness, sanctified lives, holy lives, it's not on His end. And if I could just get this across to you, it's not about you trying harder. It's just about you trusting that what He said about you is true. I've talked to a bunch of you. And here's what I get. Pastor, I'm great on Sunday, man. I leave church. I believe it. I go home. I manifest it. I'm good to everybody. By Tuesday night, you're running on empty like Jackson Brown. Some of you don't even make it till Tuesday night. You never heard of Jackson Brown? Why does this happen? Because we leak. We come and eat Sunday morning. But this better not be the only time you're eating. I mean, train yourself. Every time you eat in the physical, eat something spiritually. Train yourself. How are you going to do if you never eat but once a week physically? How are you going to do? Not very well. So in the same way, we need to feed our spirit man. Discovery groups start in January. Let's get together. I gasp, breathe the air out of the room outside of church. Outside of church. You mean a night during the week? Yep, that's what I'm saying. Did you know you can do all the things you love about Sunday morning? You can do them other days of the week? It's true. You can get in the scriptures. You can pray with people. Right, Terry? You can worship in your car. You can spend time with a good word of God. Put a CD in. Devour the word. Sundays are not enough. But I talk to you. Just get with your family. You gotta eat and keep on eating. Sunday morning won't carry you through the whole week. I've met enough of you. I know this to be true. And if you've not met the Ortegas, we got all these new families, the Murrays, the Flannerys, the Kneps, the Max. If you've not met any of these people, you need to meet them. They're great people. Maybe you'll meet them in Discovery Group, but, you know, as a church, when we come here, it's not just for our space. We need to get to know each other. Friendliest church in America, right here. Amen. Friendliest church in America. We welcome people because the Lord has welcomed us. And that shows up. Now, if you're not able to listen to the living word, Christ speak to your spirit. If you're not able to slow down enough to listen to the voice that says good things about you. Henry Nouwen said that. He said the real work of prayer is slowing down enough to listen to the voice that says good things about me. That's the work of prayer. Setting aside time to be still and be quiet and be filled. So if you don't slow down enough to do it, guess what? Thank God for the written word. Because he says some awfully good things about you in... Oh, sorry. Did I skip something? I did. True You List, page 3 and 4. This is just a few of them out of the book. You're a child of God, Romans 8:16. You're at peace with God, Romans 5:1. You're precious to God, Isaiah 43:3. You are forgiven, Colossians 1:14. You're more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. You're loved unconditionally, 1 John 4:10. You're chosen by God, John 15:16. If you don't, you need to take time. Don't let the scriptures take the place of your relationship with the living word. Because I can tell you, there's a difference between you reading that you're chosen by God, and that'll bless you. But when you hear Jesus himself tell you, Steve, you are chosen by my hand, it carries even more weight. Nikki, you are righteous and loved by me. It carries more weight. Amen. Don't let the scriptures take the place of living word and your prayer time with him. But hey, thank God for the scriptures. Jeremy, you guys can come. We got to listen, though, and keep listening. We got to read and keep on reading. We got to eat and keep on eating. How many of you have ever heard the saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it? Have you ever heard that? It's not true. Are you ready? Here's the true one. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. It is settled. If he said it, how many of you know scripture says my word's forever settled in heaven? If he said it, it is settled. Why not believe it? Why not dare to agree that you're a holy and righteous and sanctified people? By God's hand, you've been set apart, sanctified as a saint. The one I passed over, I'm going to go back to real quick. I gave it to you at the beginning. This is God's will, your sanctification. Jesus said, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:13. How do we continue and participate with the process of sanctification? The work of the Spirit and believing the truth. It's not that complicated. Dare to believe the truth of what he says about you. Will you stand with me? As we go into 2018, I didn't catch it all, but I know Pastor Gretchen was talking about New Year's resolutions. You'll need to try harder to do better. You simply need to make a decision in your own heart. I'm going to believe what God says and let it manifest in my behavior, in my attitudes, my actions. And then when you stumble, don't dig a hole and bury yourself. Take God at his word and say, Father, I thank you that I am sanctified. That is my present condition. Right then, I didn't manifest it, but it didn't change who I am. Would you continue to grow me in sanctification and get back up and keep going? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you an opportunity to do it. If you'd say, Pastor Steve, I want to receive the living word, Christ himself, into my heart. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me, anyone?
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, Visit us online at gracechurch.community.